And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. I just got home like 2 days ago from an incredible tour. My band Cop Out was just on tour with Days and Days and Leftover Crack and a bunch of other incredible bands. We went from Seattle to Miami. It was about a month long, about 25 shows. It was fucking awesome. Had a really good time. This episode, we're going to spend recapping a few things that went on the tour. And I just want to say thanks at the top of the episode to everybody who listens to the podcast, who came over to me when I was working the Leftover Crack merch and hanging out and just came over and said they dug what we do on the show. I really appreciate that. You know, I go back and forth on whether or not I should continue to do this podcast, and having good people pop over to me and say that they dig what we're doing, it means a fucking ton to me. So thank you very much for that. We met so many fucking rad people on this tour. I just fucking had a blast. And I'm really great. It's really great to be home too. You know, I'm in such a fucking good mood, worldwide podcast audience. I'm feeling great. Like, spring is in the air. This fucking tour was incredible. We met a bunch of fucking incredible people in this horrible country, and it just reminded me like how much potential there is for amazing change. And like, I'm in a brand new band, Cop Out, and people dug us all across the country, even though they've never heard of us before. And we're making some like weird music, I guess, like weird pop punk stuff, and which we're gonna listen to in a little bit. But people dug it, and it's just fucking great. Like, I know things seem bad, and they probably are, but it's so easy to forget how much good there is in you know, when we're getting overwhelmed by all this bad. It's like we're being bombarded by like a horrible flood of terrible shit, but there's also like, I don't know, rafts like that are like, you know, Caribbean cruises. I don't know if that's fucked up or not, but I feel like the world is drowning in a fucked up flood, and there's these like amazing cruise rafts that are coming by and picking all of us crusty, disgusting fuckheads up, and we're having a blast in the middle of this devastating, horrible, capitalist, torturous thing. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm stressing the wrong side of this. Maybe I should be stressing more about how we're being drowned in this horrible flood of capitalism. Maybe that's the way we need to be looking at all this, but I do think it's important for us to get some perspective and have some joy in these miserable lives we lead. Look, there's a struggle going on. Obviously, we're getting fucking drowned by capitalism constantly. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy our lives if our lives are dedicated, hopefully, to bringing people consciousness and struggling against this capitalist system. And I feel like we encapsulated that on this tour, you know, really bringing out a lot of great politics in a lot of these shows, struggling against this onslaught of nationalism, bringing people to a place where they can combat, hopefully, this fucked up capitalist system more so, and having a fucking good time doing it. And I feel like Cop Out, Days and Days, Leftover Crack, I feel like this tour did that. Like, it was this correct mixture of empowerment and consciousness and fun and, you know, left-wing politics. Maybe I'm biased. I guess I probably am. Obviously, we're still drowning, but I think there was a lot of fun to be had in all that drowning. Anyway, that's what the show's going to be about today. We're going to do the same thing we do every week on this podcast, which is we find the best voices in the underground, the fighters, the dreamers, the activists, the artists who are making the incredible passionate things that keep us fighting and struggling against capitalism and keep us thinking and keep us moving forward. We're going to find those voices. We're going to get them microphones, and we're hopefully going to use those microphones to crawl inside their head a little bit and get a better understanding of what it's like to be them or how they think or how they look at this world and how we can hopefully bring a little bit of their minds and hearts into ours and fight a little bit harder. That's what we're going to do on part of the show. On the other part of the show, we like to try to look at things that are going on in the mainstream, that bombardment of flooding that we're drowning in, and get some perspective on that. We're going to try to do that as well. But the main thing is we're going to be talking about this tour that just happened. Days and Days, Leftover Crack, Cop Out. We just did A Month on the Road, Seattle, down the West Coast, and over through the Southwest, all the way over to down to Miami. After the tour was over, we were spending a day just hanging out in Miami, and Scott Sturgeon from Leftover Crack, Whitney motherfucking Flynn from Days and Days, my partner in crime, Al, who's in a band called Trashy, also plays guitar in Cop Out and played guitar in half of Leftover Crack shows on this tour. My good friend and a great artist, Caitlin Chen, and my good friend and incredible filmmaker, Ryan Collin. We were all hanging out on the beach in South Beach the day after the tour was over, in the middle of March, I guess it was, like March 14th or 13th or 14th, I can't remember what it was. And we were hanging out in the beach in South Beach, and we just decided, let's do a little post-tour podcast, wrapping it up. A couple of years ago, my other band, All Torn Up, and Days and Days and Leftover Crack had finished the tour, and we were in Sturgeon, Whitney, and Jason Tanser from Leftover Crack, and all of the folks in Days and Days. We were actually hanging out in almost the exact same spot, and we did a podcast, and it was a very memorable, fun time for us. People can go back a few years ago in 2016 and check out that podcast in the archive with Days and Days. So we thought we could do another one and have a little fun. We had a blast. I feel like this podcast that you're about to listen to, you can really capture everything that this tour is about. We talk about family, which really, you know, we talk about it and we joke about it on the podcast a little bit. But it is something very serious to me and to Sturgeon and to the fellows in Leftover Crack and to Days and Days as well. Like, you know, I feel like punks, we don't really identify with traditional family very much. And, you know, I know we're all busy and we all don't get to spend a lot of time with each other in the way we want to, because we all live all over the country and we're busy doing so much stuff. But on this tour, you know, I'm not with my wife, obviously, so that's painful. But other than that, it really does feel like family. Like, it feels like we're all in this together. Days and Days and Leftover Crack, despite the fact that they're bringing their crowd, they really do care about us as openers, and we'd like to have fun with each other, and there's just a lot of caring. It's not just like a business. It's not just like a show. Love this crew a great deal, and so there's a real sense of family. So we talk about that on this podcast a little bit. We also talk about the new things that Days and Days have on the rise. They have some new things coming up. We talk about the new songs that LOC has been playing in this last tour. They have some songs they've been working on for folks who haven't been at these shows. There's a couple of new tunes that Leftover Crack's been working on. They're working on a new album. We also talk about future Choking Victim things that are up and coming. We talk a ton of shit about the ups and downs of tour. And yeah, I feel like you get a pretty clear picture of what this tour was like. I have to brace you all. There was a bit of drinking going on. Not on my side. I don't drink. But there were some folks drinking a little bit during the podcast. So that got, you know, I feel like that was a pretty clear picture of what happens on tour. We lose a little bit of control during the taping and a little bit of control on tour. But we had a good time. And I think that fun comes through. And I think you're going to have a fun time listening to it. So we're going to get to that in 1 second. I do want to say a couple of thank yous before we get to the podcast. Thank you to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for airing Dispatch from the Underground every Wednesday night on their incredible programming. You can hear a ton of great punk rock podcasting and shows over at realpunkradio.com. We're super happy to be part of that community over there. Thank you to Ryan Collin and Caitlin Chen for doing this tour with us. They spent a long time and did not get a lot of glory working the merch table and helping us get through the bumpy roads along this very, very, very long tour. So super huge thanks to them. Thank you to Glenn, who filled in for Cop Out on drums this tour. Glenn is in an incredible band, Inrod, and an incredible band, Treads, here in New York City. And he's an amazing drummer and a really great guy. And we could not have done this tour without him holding that down. And I am endlessly appreciative, and I owe him a great deal for making that happen. So thank you very much, Glenn. I really appreciate everything you did. And of course, thank you to Kate and Al, who are in Cop Out, and my teammates making this shit happen all the time. As well as Sturgeon and Whitney, I really appreciate them. Everybody in Leftover Crack and everybody in Days and Days for bringing Cop Out along. I know no one really knows us yet, but we're on the rise and we're doing some good shit. And I feel like people are going to dig it when they check us out. So we're going to play some in a second for you to check out. But thank you to Sturgeon and Whitney and everybody in Days and Days and Leftover Crack for doing this tour and for being such good people and taking us with you. So super appreciate it. And one last note before we get to some music and this discussion. I want to dedicate this podcast to my friend Ashley in the UK, who's risking her future and fortune and everything else to start a venue where punk music and political ideas can be exchanged and left-wing ideas can be exchanged in the UK. She's a wonderful person, and I know starting a venue is a very scary idea, but a huge part of the scene, it depends on venues and promoters who are willing to book, you know, bands with controversial left-wing ideas and are willing to promote those bands. And I really, after doing this tour, I have even a deeper appreciation of that and how there are so many people who don't want to do that and very few people who do want to do it. And Ashley is taking a risk and becoming one of those people. And I love her very much. And this show is for you, Ashley. I hope you dig it. And yeah, thanks to everyone involved. Let's get to it. We're going to listen to a tune, and then we're going to get to this discussion with Sturgeon from Leftover Crack, Whitney motherfucking Flynn from Days and Days, Al Ghost Cat from Cop Out, Caitlin Chen and Ryan Collin, and me, Joey Steele from Cop Out. Get down. All right, before we get to this discussion, I want to play a tune from a band you probably have not heard of before because we are brand new. This is my band, Cop Out. We just released this tune, which we recorded with Pete from the Bouncing Souls just before we went on tour. This is a cover of a tune that you probably also have not heard of from a woman named Anne Marie. It's a cover of a song called 2002. Cop Out just put this out as a single on our Bandcamp page. I think it's Cop Out. Punks, punx.bandcamp.com. It's all for free up there. So check it out, download it, share it, fucking pass it around. It's a pretty good tune and it's an incredible cover. And I think you're going to dig it. And I really feel like it captures like the fun feeling that we're trying to get across with a little bit of crusty shit in there as well. So here is Cop Out featuring me and Al Ghost Cat, who is also going to be on this podcast, and the band that we were touring with Days and Days and Leftover Crack with. Here's Cop Out. 2002. Get down.
I will always remember the day you kissed my lips, lost a feather. And it went just like this, those devils better than the summer of 2002.
Baby, one more time. Paint a picture for you.
now we are recording. Oh. So if you want to put, if you want to say I'm a piece of shit, then now is the time to do it.
Why would anybody ever say that?
Yeah, I agree.
Joey Steele is a piece of shit.
Yeah, cool.
Joey Steely?
Yeah, Steely. That's great.
Let's do that noise a lot more.
All right, so here we are. We are in a hotel room on
don't disclose too much
South,
information.
South Beach.
Yeah.
But yeah, the address is I'll put the address at the bottom of the screen, and I'm sure we'll all still be here. We are in South Beach. We're in Miami. We just finished the tour. Left or Crack, Days and Days, Cop Out, Easy Action was on this last leg of the tour. And we're fucking just like just chilling, fucking
and
wrapping it up.
We fucking survived.
We survived.
Holy balls.
Mostly. Snacks. We mostly survived.
My God. That was the scariest tour I've ever been on.
That was a tough one. What did you
that
what
was
did,
it was rough.
Why did you think it was so tough, Winnie? Because I thought we fucking crushed it. Like
oh,
was,
we crushed the shows. Hell yeah, but like my fucking God. My body's breaking. My fucking personal life is something that needs to be not ever spoken about, and
so, probably not on a podcast. Then,
yeah,
that's perfect timing.
Shut the
right.
fuck up.
Before we get into Whitney Flynn's personal life for a second, I
no.
should say we're here.
Why
with...
does this smell like pancakes?
Because you're vaping pancakes.
It smells like fucking syrup.
Yeah, you
no, it smells
fucking
like fucking
just vaped
pancakes.
You vaped pancake shit just
oh,
now.
Ew. It's vape juice.
Yeah.
Oh, my
wait,
God.
Listen, it's like I'm back on the fucking bus with my pizza, my world again. Okay, I'm sitting here with Whitney Flynn from Days and Days, Scott Sturgeon from Leftover Crack. I'm here with
and Star Fucking Hipsters. Duh.
Yeah, and
what about
yes,
Choking
and
Victim?
Choking Victim.
What about
no commercial value.
I.
What about Jigatech? What about My Pizza, My World?
All right. I know what?
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening
wow,
and tuning
Joey.
In. Yeah. They really yeah, appreciate it.
How many bands are you in, dude? Yeah.
I wasn't going to introduce
yeah,
myself.
Like 17.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, this is...
What percentage of the bands in
here
are you in, Joey?
We're three
what
fucking...
What percentage of the bands are that you are in have your name in the title is what I want to know.
Just 2%.
2%?
Yeah.
But no, I think it's more
it's
than
It's the same
that.
As milk. That's no. how I keep track
he's
of it.
Part of the,
I'm
part
here
of
also...
The 1%.
I'm here also with Al from Trashy
1%.
And Cop Out.
And we're protesting against you,
and
Joey.
Ryan Collin, just... who is and Caitlin Chen, who are joining us on this tour as well.
Yeah.
And hello. Say hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Hello.
So yeah, that I'm sure
that's
way less confusing. Yeah, that's great. I'm sure that's gonna be way less confusing.
Me versus Whitney for the rest of the interview.
No, the rest of the fucking trip.
Who can hold the mic
okay.
harder?
So tour's wrapped up. Whitney, you thought it was pretty tough. I thought we fucking crushed it. I thought it was
yeah,
fucking super
no,
successful.
Yeah, no, the shows are fucking incredible.
But, Sturgeon, what do you think?
I made it to the stage every night. Somehow. And that... only three of us died on tour. So, I think we did pretty good.
True
died,
and not true.
I only almost died twice.
Yeah.
So, I did good.
And only, yeah.
Good.
This was like the longest. I think this is like the longest tour I've ever seen y'all do.
Well, yeah, it's the longest one I can remember.
And if there was no real. I didn't see any real problems. Whitney's noting that there were. I didn't see any. Everything was great. It was a fucking fun time every single
For
night.
For me, there's a problem when
oh, God,
both God. Of the regular guitar players were gone from the band, and then I had to play guitar, and it was like that was hard. Yet Al fucking kicked ass. So.
Okay, let's break
like,
it down.
Super kicked ass. Like 2 days before at a sound check, I was playing guitar and it did not sound great. But then by the first show, it was like perfect. It was better than, you know.
So
better than Ezra.
Middle of the tour, Reed.
It's a band. That's a 90s band. Don't worry about it.
better than Ezra, isn't it? Yeah. Reed Wolcott, right? And Brad Logan both left middle of the tour. Both the guitar players left or cracked left middle of the tour. And Al from Trashy and Cop Out filled in
Jesse.
Moments notice. Oh, and Jesse too. Jesse from Days and Days.
To be fair, Reed left after 10 days.
Jesse killed it.
And Brad made it almost to the end of the tour, except for 3 shows. So saying that halfway through is kind of unfair to Brad.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Brad, I'm sorry. Brad's not listening to this. He didn't give a fuck.
That's true. Yeah. He's never going to listen.
He's never going
to
hear this podcast, so it's fine.
You can give
Brad,
it to him and he'll leave it on the tour bus.
Brad never even showed up for tour. Let's say that.
Just you. Fucking
Jesse's Nails from Days and Days.
And fucking.
That's a sentence. Sentence.
I mean, Jesse's probably the best guitar player out of everybody that played on this tour.
Wow, did you see Al's face? Hey, holy shit.
I mean, for what I read.
I think my face didn't change at all. That's
Al, just, yo, where's Jesse for this shit talk? He's not even here.
I can't apologize seriously because I'm not trying to talk shit.
Al's not going to defend himself, so we're going to go with that. We're going to go with
just
that.
Just as good, almost.
People do, like, guitar lessons and be like, this is Jesse's style.
I mean,
and teach them, like, Jesse's style.
Maybe it's because that's the style
He's
play,
incredible.
Really
He's incredible.
It was a treat to me.
And I'm not... I'm a little biased, though.
It was a treat to me.
That's my best friend.
To see this happen, because I've never seen anything like this happen. Plus, Sturgeon, you were playing guitar in Left Over Crack Set, which I've never seen you do multiple songs. Well,
back when it was a three-piece, it was pretty terrible to watch. But...
Why did you think it was terrible?
Because we didn't know the songs yet, really, so trying to play a Gaylord Boys Unite with, like, the octaves and the vocals, like, I definitely can't do that stuff by myself. I never could.
Did you think it was fun to do at this tour? Did you enjoy doing it?
It was fun the middle show, where people were having fun at the show. The show before that, where was that?
I think the first...
Gainesville.
Well, that was not a fun
Gainesville
show.
Gainesville wasn't so fun, and then Miami wasn't that fun for me. I think it was fun for a lot of people, but not
Orlando.
For me. But the one in the middle, Orlando, like... The sound was good, and I don't think I sucked.
No, it was a good show. It was
a
great,
more
great
seamless,
crowd.
But
super
I felt
fun.
Like I started doing things like when I feel unsure of myself and I say something and the crowd, I can't see the crowd, then people start doubting that we're any good, and they're right.
I don't think that anyone's doubting it. Everyone's having these questions.
Definitely fucked up. And Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was
a tough
night.
Yeah, I got sick.
It was. I mean, look, things happen on tour. Things get complicated.
No, but fucked up people do fucked up things to other people.
I feel like I got sick. And
I feel like everything happened in Florida. Like I got into a stupid fucking altercation in Gainesville.
God. Every time I go to fucking Orlando,
what happened to you? Nothing happened to Sturgeon in Florida. What the fuck? We're still here in Miami though, so I guess we got time.
I either get in fight or. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's the Florida welcome team.
Or I get pissed on.
Getting
or,
punched in the face by a Nazi is the Florida,
or get
Florida
drugged
welcome committee.
Because I got fucking drugged in Florida and I could not play the show.
Okay, so Gainesville is definitely my least favorite show. Orlando is definitely your least favorite show.
Gainesville was horrifying for me because I have my fucking creepy ass stalker.
What was your least favorite show? Everyone's always talking about the best show of tour. I want to go right to the bottom of the barrel.
Orlando, because I got fucking drugged and I could not play the show.
What was yours, Sturgeon?
My what?
Your least favorite show of tour.
My least favorite show was.
You can hear Al peeing in the background if you can't hear that. It's pretty interesting.
Probably the last show, Miami, for a lot of reasons. First of all, I feel like I didn't do great. We had people on our team that missed their parts sometimes, and also, not anybody that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But also, it was the end of tour, and I really liked this tour. And I didn't want it to end because I don't have any place to go. So...
This was
sad for me.
This is a super fun tour, and I think one of the biggest parts is it does. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but it does feel super family like. It feels like we have this is some family.
Yeah, this is like straight up fucking family shit.
I mean, like, every night we get to do songs together.
It's weird because we have to go on stage and do our fucking job, but. Like, besides that, like, it's all fucking family as fuck.
I feel like most bands go on tour and they go to make money or whatever so they can get home to their family. I don't have that. So that's I get a couple weeks and then it's like, basically I'm on tour for most of the year and I get to see my family on tour. So.
I think that comes through. I mean, that feels like to me. I don't know, Ryan. Do you feel like when you're watching the show, or Kayla, when you're watching the show, do you feel like that comes through when you're watching it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, everyone knows each other. There's plenty of history. You know, Jeff's singing on Cop Out. You're singing on LOC, you know, and you come on with Days and Days. And it's a big family. Like, that's the way I see it. But I'm an outsider.
I feel like the joy
what about
of
me singing with Days and Days.
That's, I forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Ryan's also wow. There's a lot of liquor being drunk in this room right now. So there's like some things being missed. There's some like important details.
Shut the fuck up. Joey Steely. Joey Steely.
Oh god, I don't want
to. My fucking guy.
Leftover cracks over there.
Yeah, Al's yeah, Ryan, you really you I appreciate your commentary,
all,
but you really missed
a
lot
part
of shit.
We're all the same goddamn thing. And this is not for the fucking week.
No,
our fucking
this is
our
exhausting
fucking
tour.
Job is not for the fucking sane or for the fucking week.
I feel like we're pretty sane,
we are
Brittany.
Fucking,
what the fuck are you trying to say to us?
Oh my, shut the fuck up. Oh my god.
Listen,
we're all fucking insane.
I know, that's not
we
true.
We're all fucking strong as
I'm gonna delete
fuck.
All that stuff from the podcast because I
may. Shut the fuck up. Joey Steely, I will always.
I'm gonna unplug this fucking mic.
Shut the. Oh my goodness gracious. Golly my geez Louise.
That's pretty good. When he told you, didn't he? Didn't she tell you? I mean.
Well, you know, here's the other thing about.
Get this
yeah.
This is your fault.
I didn't actually bring
no,
any
liquor honestly,
in here.
If I could have it my way, I would. Just have all my friends on tour, and that would be what I did for all year. I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't even think of shows as jobs or work or whatever. I don't necessarily anymore. It depends on what's going on.
That comes through in the shows, too, and that's one of the reasons that never gets old or stale. I've seen Leftover Crack play 400 times. I don't know.
And probably 300 of them it seemed like it was a job.
No,
like,
that's not true. That's not true. I'm not lying.
200 times?
Maybe six.
Six dozen.
Bratislava, Slovakia was one of the nights.
I do not remember being in Slovakia, Bratislava.
We glued dildos to the wall at one point.
What happened?
We glued a bunch of dildos to the wall. Do you remember that?
I do not remember that.
Yeah.
Are you sure I was there?
You were.
Where did I get dildos?
There was
from my ass.
But
that's a good place to keep.
But it's never.
Rich.
It never.
It's like, it's
Days and Days, Days and Days, and All of Us, and Leftover Crack. It never feels like anyone's up there being contrived or just doing it for a job. Everyone passionately wants to be singing every
say
fucking night.
Everyone, but
Alec. Everyone wants to be up there fucking.
No,
passionately.
I wouldn't just say Alec is does that either. He likes to be there. I think that I try every night to not be contrived. But aren't I contrived just for trying?
I get 45 minutes. I give 45 minutes of my life every fucking night to passionately, like, they always tell me it's like, oh, it's you, like, calm your Ella, because Ella Fitzgerald is my fucking.
I have
45 minutes of every day of my life to be able to just relentlessly escape from everything that I am holding.
I feel kind of more like the opposite. Like when I'm playing, I'm more kind of going into it, the things like I'm doing the opposite of escaping. I'm like embracing it and feeling it and like kind of trying to purge it, but you know, you gotta save some for tomorrow. Save it for Miami or Gainesville or whatever.
That's not true either. None of us after every show we're all fucking totally spent. I know you're totally exhausted and
I am for a little while.
Yeah. And I'm only really, I hate life. It's miserable. I'm only really happy when we're singing. Like, I'm on stage singing. Like, it's only time. Or whatever, singing. Like, just fucking love that. It's the
well,
only time where I feel
if it's
honest.
Going well. If it's not going well, then it's not that enjoyable.
Even when it's not going well, it's like, all right, they're not into it. Fine, that's fine. But I still get to, like, do this thing that I fucking love to do more than anything else. And I get to, like, let everything out. I feel like it's the only time I'm genuinely being honest about what I fucking am feeling or
it's
thinking.
It's funny. It's like we're all...
That's what I'm
Yeah, you get, but also whatever. We're all agreeing with each other in a weird way where we're not agreeing.
Yeah, no one. Yeah, Whitney, you completely said the opposite of what I just said.
Not really.
We also
said that she needs that 45 minutes.
That's true. That's a different shit too. You know, like you only sing because your bones aren't right, so you can't play instruments. That's not picking on you. I'm just saying, like,
vitamin C.
I think, like, if you could play the drums, that would be, like, perfect for you. But I think, like, you know, music is so malleable. Like, everyone, like, gets different shit out of it. You know, like, you feel like it's a catharsis for you. Like, you, like.
But I also feel like it's a cathartic.
Yeah.
And I think Whitney does, too. So.
Where is it to you?
So, wait, what are you trying to say? What's the other part? What's the other side of the coin or whatever?
I mean, I think some people feel like this is where, like, I thrive, and some people feel like this is my escape. And, like, those two things can be the same thing.
That's right. Yeah. You know? It is an escape at the same time somehow. I don't know how.
Like, however you like, categorize it for yourself. And I love it. I mean, all I want to do is ride bikes and play guitar and sing. And, like.
Those are three of my favorite things, too.
I just want to dance. I just want to dance.
I love dancing, actually.
Yeah. I can't dance. Neither can Joey.
Everybody can dance.
You're dancing so bad.
I'm an amazing dancer. I've been dancing on stage.
Oh, you said Joey. I thought you said you couldn't dance.
I could dance.
I said everybody can dance.
Well, I mean, Joey cannot dance.
Like, what the fuck is this? This is my podcast.
You know what I realized? So I don't have to put up with this. I hardly danced at all this whole tour. And usually I dance every
night. You danced a pretty good amount.
A tiny bit, like 3 shows out of 20.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there was a lot of pedals on stage that preventing too
no,
much
that
movement.
It's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse. Yeah. I'm like a 10% excuse. I feel like there was pedal situations and cables, a lot of cables, ins and outs.
No, that was not why.
Okay,
I
why weren't
dancing.
You dancing? You don't feel the joy?
I was tired this tour.
It was exhausting. This was an exhausting tour.
Maybe I don't know.
It was cold.
It was very cold. I thought that this routing would make it like we get warmer. Not till the end of tour.
I asked about that.
Whitney, you're falling asleep in the middle of the podcast. That's discouraging. Okay. I want to take a 10-second break. We're going to listen to a tune, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about family. We're going to talk about this new Days and Days recording,
Is this a fake 10-second break?
It's a fake 10-second break.
So we're not really going to have a break at all?
No, we're going to have a break. It's going to be literally 10 seconds, and then the audience is going to hear like a song, and then...
I get it, but... Yeah. They're not going to have 10 seconds. They have to listen to a whole song.
Yeah,
it's not going to be 10 seconds.
So actually, it's fake for everyone.
Why would you tell people that we're going to have a 10-second break?
It's not a math test, Sergeant. I didn't know we were going to fucking be timing this shit out.
Learn math, Joey.
this is
then you know how important it is.
I told you everybody at the beginning of the podcast.
Then you'll know how to dance. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I can fucking dance. That's it. Yeah. The podcast is over. All right, I'm going to listen to a dance tune and we'll be right back. Fuck you guys. I'll get down. Let's take a break for a second. Let's listen to a tune. A few years ago, I think it was right after a tour with Days and Days, I'm sitting in my house and I get a message from Whitney asking if I would do a verse for a song they have called Save a Life, Kill a Cop. And they didn't even have, I don't think they even had the song done. I think they had written an entire album in a day. From what I understand, they'd written an entire album. Crustfall, from what I understand, although I could be completely wrong about this, I feel like Jesse and Whitney were in a park one day and they wrote this entire album called Crustfall. And one of the songs is about killing cops. And when they were in that park on that day, they texted me, told me to write a verse. I said, no problem. I think I wrote 6 verses and I asked Whitney which one they wanted me to do. And I got no reply from Whitney for about 6 months. And so I assumed that song was no longer going to be done. And the idea was scrapped. Was fine with that. It was like, okay, no problem. You know, they got 1 million songs. It was like a day in a park and they had this idea. Then I get a call, I don't know, from Jesse, I think maybe a year after I had written that verse or a year after I'd heard that song. And Jesse and Whitney were just like, okay, we're recorded Save a Life, Kill a Cop. So if you could go and record that verse for us and those choruses, we're gonna put it on the record and the record's gonna be put out in like a week. And I'm like, a week? What are you talking about? We've never practiced this song. We've never done it live. Like, I've never even sung it. Like, I've wrote it like a year ago and I've never even sung it. I've never even performed this. I don't even know if it fits. And Jesse's like, well, how long do you think you can get it done? I'm like, yeah, I can get it done. I mean, I just, so I set up my podcast gear in my bedroom and sang that one verse for like 9 hours. Jesse doesn't know that I did that. It took me like 9 hours to record that, like 14 seconds worth of music, because I'd never sung it before. So I was like trying to figure out how to sing this piece. You know, it was a wreck. And I sent it to them. They pieced it together. They put it in the song and they put it out. They spelled my name wrong, which I'm endlessly sad that Whitney did that to me. But I'm really appreciative that they let me do this song about something I care very greatly about, which is dead cops. And on this tour, we did this song, Save a Life, Kill a Cop, every night. And I deeply love this song. I love this band. I love Jesse. I love Megan. I love Jeff. I love Whitney. I love the people in this band so much. They're such good people. Their hearts are so big. And they've been so kind to me. And I just endlessly love this music. And the fact that I got to do this song with a band that I deeply, deeply enjoy means a ton to me. And the fact that they're such good people is even better. So here is that song, Save a Life, Kill a Cop, by Days and Days, featuring me, Joey Steely, doing one of the verses. And thank you, Jesse and Whitney and Megan and Jeff, for having me on stage every night and being such good friends and such incredible musicians. I love you all. Days and Days, get down.
Life and kill a cop, back inside nobody's done. Red and blue lights flood the streets, highlights another tragedy. You reach for your ID, you pick it, just another sentence. Take another innocent to pull a blood, I guarantee that nigga walk. Better mind your peace and cues, and try to all woke up and use the power, driven terror as the feet of your obedience. Perk your ears and know your rights. Tribulation, join the fight. Rid the world of all police. Go out and kill a cop.
They don't serve and protect you. They kill and neglect you. Spit their mouth and boot you in the bum. They don't serve and protect you. They kill and neglect you. Still go save a life, kill a cop. You're all the same, rain lies and lust are rain. Nominations, don't pass us to murder. And a club of dirty police, you mind what we say. We live for justice, so say what that it is.
They don't serve and protect you. They kill and neglect you. They're dead and the booty and the bug. They don't serve and protect you. They kill and neglect you. So go save a life, kill a god.
Okay, that was great. We listened to a song and we're back.
That song was hilarious. It made me upset and cry, but also smile all the whole time.
Yeah, it was a really very moving.
I saw rainbows.
I want to talk about family for 10 seconds because we talked about it briefly and we moved through it. But what is family to you? Because Cop Out, we have this new song about called Abandon, where it's about getting rid of our families and going on tour and just fucking being with people we love.
You got to get rid of the fucking family members that they don't love you.
Are you saying that? You say that to me so sincerely. To straight into my eyes. You look right into my eyes and say they don't love me.
No. You have to look at family as it is. You know? I love my grandma and my mom and my dog.
Some of us are fortunate enough to have actual blood relatives that care about us, but
the rest of them...
And so we have to cut them off.
Can't go fuck themselves.
I might be totally wrong. I don't know, forgiving everybody and...
It's okay. Whatever.
And forgiving yourself. You know, this, like, there's this thing, everybody is like, you have to forgive them. I don't know if you got to do that. I don't know if that doesn't seem logical to me. Right?
Yeah, forgiveness is a weird concept.
For bad parenting or abuse or whatever.
I mean, I don't think anyone is owed forgiveness.
Right?
I think if people want...
Yeah. It, but do you think it's...
never said sorry? Fuck
well, I think,
them.
Like, you know, apologies are often meaningless, but I think if, like, people want to be in your lives, like, they owe you...
an explanation?
I mean, yeah,
explanation. Or something?
Like, you, if you
$5?
Are community, if you're, like, friends, if you're, like, family, like, you owe... your community, like, your time and your effort, and if they don't give it back to you, then you don't, oh, you know, it's like, if we're gonna be, if we're family, then, like, we owe each other, like, that kindness, and if you don't give it, then you don't get it, and that's it.
Well, but, alright, so this is, kind of goes back to that, like, the love you give is the love that you get, but I find that the more love I give, the more hate I get.
I think you when you're evoking strong emotions out of people, then you're going to get strong emotions back, and some people are going to be jealous of that. But I also think that this concept of family is like, it's like, that's not, this isn't family. It's something different. It's community. It's like another word, because I feel like family's, no offense to my family because they're good people or whatever, but it's kind of, it's like you belong to
it's
these
arbitrary.
People.
It's arbitrary.
Yeah, it's arbitrary. Exactly. Thank you. That's the word. It's arbitrary. You're born to these people. Like, why am I with them? I'm stuck with them. This is more than family, because we're choosing to be together.
Right, right.
And it's so much more meaningful and, like, and purposeful, and, like, it's just so much more than family. I feel like family, we're actually selling ourselves short when we say it's family, because I think it's so much more.
Queers call it chosen family.
I'm sorry?
Queers call it chosen family, where, like, if you can't, like, be who you are with your birth family, like, you choose your family. But family is fraught because it's tense and stressful and often toxic and difficult. Like, family is difficult. And, like, sometimes it's fucked up and sometimes it's hard. And you have to, like, work through tense and problematic shit because you believe in people that you're around. And people fuck up and do fucked up shit. And you gotta, like, call your homies in and figure out, like, how to move forward. Like, everyone has problems.
But some people don't do fucked up
yeah, no,
shit.
Yeah, no, not, like, everyone, not everyone does, you know, for sure.
I don't know.
But when it's an intentional family, when you're choosing to be together, it's also, like, it's easier to call. If I do something fucked up and Sturgeon comes to me and is like, Joey, that was dumb, you shouldn't have done that shit, which happens, you know, like, relatively frequently.
People know when they do wrong, you know.
You know, but
if
it's,
they,
like,
know
easier
that
to
they
hear
did
that.
Something wrong, then I don't want them as part of my family.
Yeah, but it's also, like, it's easy to do that when you know that each other care about you, because it's not some sort of obligation to be around each other, because you're choosing to be around each other. So that doesn't bother me when someone comes up to me and says, you fucked up, don't do that again. Right. Like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense, you know. But anyway, I just thought we were talking about that family
but
thing.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to, like, in other situations where like, you don't feel like you can come and criticize someone because they're not as close to you as something. Or in like, traditional familial relations where you just put up with, like, the racist, sexist bullshit that your family actually, like, spews constantly. Which I feel like, Caitlin, you were talking about earlier, like, with...
I don't have that problem. Like, I don't have any racist, sexist... I didn't have to hear that shit when I was younger. But I have different problems that I don't want to be around my family for.
Yeah. So. But you can't criticize. Like, I feel like you can't really criticize your families. Like, you just...
Why,
like,
not?
Because
my mom made me be born.
Yeah.
I didn't ask. Like, people act like, oh, you owe me your life because I birthed you. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No, you owe me... You're responsible for me.
Yeah.
I'm not responsible for you.
Hmm.
So be a good parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about something happy.
Let's talk. All right. Whitney, are you done with us? Okay. You done with us? All right. Let's talk about this new team, because on this tour, I feel like the last two-ish tours, you were molding this song, this new Leftover Crack song.
Two tours?
Last, like, tour and a half,
What other tour?
This the one on the East Coast that was, crazy. The Brains opening.
Did we ever? Well, we were playing that during soundcheck.
Playing soundcheck and a couple of times live. Atlanta, you played it, and a couple.
But we didn't have lyrics yet.
Didn't have lyrics yet. So it is basically new. This tour.
Sure.
And it's called. I forgot the name of it already.
Yeah, me too. Go What's fuck that? Yourself.
I set that up.
Is that your enough? Trick? Yeah, is that a word hole? Did I fall in it?
It's called Go Fuck Yourself, Al. Yeah, it's called Go Fuck Yourself, Al. That's the entire name of it.
That was like the working title, like scrambled eggs. But it was like, what? There's no reason why I shouldn't call it that, because that's how I feel about people all the time, and that's what I want to tell them. And that's like, I know it's not very clever, but that's like my biggest like diss to people. Is like, hey, go fuck yourself. I know it's stupid.
It's
my thing
perfect.
That I love to say.
Also,
that means the most to me. To mean the worst thing.
It doesn't
make a lot of sense.
It doesn't. It makes perfect sense. Because literally, when someone comes up in the crowd and says like some stupid shit, I don't know.
Really intend to dedicate that song to the audience.
Oh, okay.
It just seems like I am, so it's kind of dumb. And sometimes I do a little bit, but not that much.
But it's a fun song. It's like the funnest song.
Also, you like definitely dedicated to the audience.
I can't remember why. What happened in El Paso?
That woman was like,
something happened.
She was yelling at you about something.
She said something. She said
and it made no
really
sense.
Really weird, and didn't make any. She said the word like mishmash and something, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she said this, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And then
she was like, Texas. You're like, sure.
Fuck Texas.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, yeah, Texas, go fuck yourself. That worked out perfectly. She set me up on that one.
It worked out perfectly for everybody on stage.
She got upset.
Me at
you know,
the
anybody that
table.
Gets upset about shit like that deserves to hear disparaging things about where they're from because they care so much.
Yeah. Also an arbitrary thing that they
so many,
care about.
Some people in Texas are like
Get
that.
The fuck up. It's
a thing. Whitney's one of them. But she doesn't have a microphone right
Brittany,
now.
You gave up on us.
Hey, I will scream.
I haven't seen her eat a Texas shape.
Fuck you.
Waffle the whole tour.
She's just screaming something about Buc-ee's now. Wait.
You motherfuckers.
yeah.
What the fuck?
We weren't in front of her. You Texas gave up on us 20 minutes ago.
She was asleep.
Okay.
She missed the first part. So.
But okay. So go
we were talking about how Texas was the best.
We were talking,
then
you just
it
heard
turned into
part.
This thing, and then you woke up. So.
We're.
I didn't even wake up.
There's no apologies necessary.
Screams came out.
Right.
That song is just it's this mash of those words with the most fun song in the world. So I don't think anyone could really be offended, be like, "Oh, this one's for you. This is called you fuck yourself. You gotta dance. You gotta dance
for anybody yet."
What do you want me to say?
Singing
for Texas all fucking day. You stupid motherfuckers. Don't
Boom.
Fuck with Texas.
Y'all ready for this?
Sound ever. Do you want to talk about why you're with us for 10 seconds? Do you want to talk about the new songs from you?
Here, I'm going to give her the mic.
Yeah. Before, and then we'll come All back right, to
so
it.
So I got a
Go
new album
yourself.
Coming out with Days and Days this year. I'm working on my solo album coming out with a
Tell
book.
Us about this stuff.
Yeah, why don't you give me some details? Give us some juice here. What's up
juicy
with the new album, Days and Days?
Yeah.
Who's
producing it?
Sturgeon's gonna interview you about the new album from Days and Days.
A lot of secrets are being held.
Secrets?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought we were
family. I thought we were fucking straight family.
Fuck
10 seconds.
Off. All right.
Yeah.
And
she can't tell us
my solo shit's still being tossed around by Trauma Bond.
What you guys have to talk into the fucking
bond.
Microphones here.
We need one more microphone.
No, I'm good.
What's the album called? What's your solo album called?
Trauma Bond.
Trauma Bond?
Trauma Bond.
So tell us more about that album. Is that secret, top secret shit too? I don't know. What can you tell us?
I feel like
you're just being vague.
I have it all written, But I'm just tossed around from different producers and artists from Nashville.
Did you need me to? Is this your subtle way of getting me to try to produce your album? Because I have time.
Oh my god! Yeah, I've too. Just been tossing around from different people.
Sometimes people say they're like talking to like Trump will be like, oh yeah, I've heard like people say this, but really they're just trying to say that they want me to do it or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you want me to produce album, let's talk about it right now. Trauma Bond, produced by Joey Steely.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Sick.
Joseph Herbert Steely.
Yeah, and I have my book coming out. And
your book? What's your book about? You just throw this shit in there.
The Squirrel and Her Pink Blanket.
What?
It's called The Squirrel and Her Pink Blanket.
What's it about? Is it fiction, nonfiction, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it's a poetry book. And it's going to be like an adult children's book. I guess.
Yeah, that.
How is it poetry in a story? Is that?
I don't know. Yeah, it's just gonna be illustrated and.
Oh, it's gonna be illustrated.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't. No yeah, words I have at all. My illustrate. Shut poetic, the fuck up! Why the pictures? Fuck are you talking over me?
You know, pictures a thousand words. You can cut that up and put it on a fridge.
Wait, wait, shut wait! The fuck no, up. But seriously, it's gonna have pictures in it. Are you messing
yeah,
with me or not?
Yeah, no. I have my illustrator.
Who's your illustrator?
Shelby Bauer.
Okay.
Yeah. She's illustrating it. All for.
Yeah. Use the Google.
She was on Food Network. She's a cake expert.
Is she?
Yeah.
She's a Food Network and she's a chef.
What
the fuck?
Yeah.
This book is...
It's my best friend. It's my best friend in the entire world.
Can we just run this down again real quick? It's an adult children's book, poetry, stories, illustrations done by a Food Network artist and childhood best friend.
Yeah.
That jacket is already going to be heavy to explain that.
Yeah.
That's going to be heavy.
But mainly it's about a squirrel in a pink blanket. So
it's mainly about a squirrel in her pink blanket. It's about my dog. About my dog. Shut up.
I don't know the story.
Hold on. It's about my dog. And
no.
My dog, my squirrel, and my blanket trying to help me through life.
Okay.
Wishing they could talk to me while I go through my things.
Okay. So when's the book coming out, do you think? You're working on it still.
It's pretty much written.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna release it right when I release.
Sturgeon's holding up a clock that says "Bless this mouse." I don't know.
I'm gonna release it when I release my
solo album.
Solo album, yeah.
So when can people expect this to be coming toward them?
Probably in January or December.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to finish this new album with Days and Days.
What was the name of that album again?
Oh, that's a...
Oh, is that part of the top secret?
Yeah.
Okay, and where is the album being produced with? Okay, cool. Oh, Shh Records is putting it out, so it should be very hush-hush. It's going to be very top secret. Yeah, Val Kilmer is going to be on it. It's going to be awesome.
No.
Okay.
Guess who is also making a new record?
Who's also making a new record? Cop Out's actually putting out some stuff. Is that
That's
where you're going
what I
with
thought. I was putting it at you. Y'all making a record? Tell me about it, please.
Yeah, we have some songs.
How many squirrels are there, though?
There are no squirrels on this record.
Well, fuck you, man.
Okay.
You're a piece of shit. There you go.
No.
Come on, just put one squirrel in it. It's one word.
Okay.
It's not that hard.
It's called Squirrel Nut Zipper.
No,
and
don't.
It should be good.
Don't belittle me. Come on.
It's going to be a full ska record. It's going to be rad.
You hate ska or something? What are you trying to say?
Leftover Crack does have... It did
your best song has ska in it. It's a cover from Anne Murray. And the ska sounds really good. You want
to
dance.
Al really wanted to do that ska part, so that's you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad because
making compromises in my life.
Great guitar players cannot play ska. That's a good thing that Al plays ska.
Was that a dig at someone in particular?
No, it wasn't, but it's a dig at most guitar players.
Let's talk about this new Leftover Crack album, because you did two new songs from the album on this tour. You did
kind of. I mean, they're not done, but yes,
Metal Banger.
That's like maybe the opener for the next record, and then the dance song.
And how much is done from the album?
I mean, all the music maybe is written, but not arranged. Shit. And then the hardest part is the vocal melodies, and the lyrics are kind of easy after that. But that's just because thesaurus.com and Rhyme Zone. You know, just throw fucking shit together. It's like, whatever. Oh, but no, but it is like, I like to research shit. Usually I'll read a book. And traditionally in the past, before the internet was in my face every day, I would read a whole book and then boil that down to a song. And that's why people like some of the songs on Fuck World Trade. Because there was a whole book involved. But I don't read that many books anymore. So we have songs like Go Fuck Yourself and The Metal Banger.
Yeah. What's The Metal Banger about?
I think it's about witch hunts.
Oh.
Also,
actual literal
I have another
witch
song
hunts?
Called The Infiltrated Anarchist Collective. And I think that it's something that people don't talk about in places like New York, ABC No Rio, places where people are easily divided just from rumors or whatever. I don't know. I don't know exactly why I was excommunicated, but I like to think that the government was involved. And I think it's really easy to have somebody that gets paid by the feds, you know,
yeah,
or
definitely.
The police or whatever, to just drop into a show and just say something that's not true about somebody and leave it, because it just snowballs, you know?
In fact, actually, the last Dispatches episode we just put up was with an author who wrote books. He's written two books about how the U.S. government like infiltrated leftist organizations and like with COINTELPRO and other organizations. People should go back and listen to that that episode. It's very good. And there's a bunch of really fucking good books about this. It's real. It's not a silly thing. Very fucking real.
I know it's fucking real.
Yeah, I know
too well.
Yeah. And people can laugh about that concept because they think like, oh, that's probably not true. But that is exactly how they operate. That misinformation and stuff is real, especially when people are talking about radical, heavy radical things that they're afraid of. We're talking about the police or Operation Move, which, you know, is something they're terrified of.
I mean, I grew up 90 miles away from Philly and I never heard of that.
Yep.
Not until I was an adult and read books that I picked out, you know. But yeah,
I mean, people get upset about America dropping bombs on other places, which is righteous that they get upset about that. But American military right. dropping bombs on their own people, and no one is talking about that, and it's fucked up.
Well, I just like to say that that the counterintelligence program is still happening, and it's not necessarily government financed. Private money is going into it, and they choose targets, and I think that's a real thing. And I will say no more.
I think that sounds. I didn't know you were writing that song. That sounds really interesting.
Someone knows I'm writing the song, and they bother me about it. And it's weird, and I don't want to talk anymore about it.
Anyway, so what? When do you think we're going to be seeing some new tunes coming out?
Maybe May.
Oh, yeah.
Or we'll at least put something on the internet once we're done recording. And we're trying to get something out by the fall so we can go on tour. Maybe when Days and Days have a new record, we'll have a new EP at least.
Nice.
I don't know. Okay. We definitely have the songs done. We have a bunch of songs from the last record that we didn't finish that we could use also. So,
sweet. There's a fucking ton of shit. Al, we got to get our shit together and fucking start putting some shit out. Hello.
Get your stuff out by like October. We'll have Cracktoberfest.
Okay. We'll fucking do it. Let's do it. We're gonna is Cracktoberfest gonna be Days and Days and Leftover Crack?
Definitely. I don't know about any else bands, but possibly.
All right, so you heard it first. Cap Out, Days and Days and Leftover Crack. Cracktoberfest is gonna be 3 months long.
Oh no, I thought it was just Cap Out and Days and Days.
Oh, I just
make all the money. I'm just kidding.
That's fine. I'm fucking fine with it. Let's do that too. Let's do that.
Stizzacracks, Cracktoberfest, and Beer Festival. No, it's Stizzacracks.
Everyone later hosing
craft
half off
cocaine festival. Featuring Cop Out and Days and Days. Bad Religion, Lagwagon.
Lagwagon.
That's gonna be financially, you better get in on the ground floor, everybody.
It's gonna be 50 years from now, Lagwagon's still gonna be fucking making it happen.
Man, they're going to be doing all the cocaine. I'm going to have, like, branded cocaine. You won't. You think that there's going to be branded marijuana? Just you wait till the end of the drug war.
Yeah, that's...
There's a crack cocaine.
Get it tight. How are you going to brand it? Are you going to brand it with baggies or actually, like, each individual... What is cocaine made of? Pellets?
Whatever I got to do to not pay taxes.
Okay. All right, so stay tuned. We have a whole bunch of music coming out and a whole new brand of cocaine is going to be coming at you very, very near future.
Near future.
Let me ask one more question before we finish it.
Sure.
I don't know if it's true or not.
It's craft cocaine.
There's
crack at the craft cocaine festival. Okay.
The last time you cocaine. Were on.
Yeah.
Was when you did the choking victim tour.
Right. Oh, we were in that weird hotel in Portland or something.
Yeah, something like that.
That actually weird in a good way, I guess.
It was fun. It was a nice fucking hotel, I think.
We were in the closet taking photos.
That did happen. Also,
and you know, I'll say no more about it. Don't ask. Don't tell.
Yeah, it's fine. But when we were on,
I don't
that,
know. Nobody we knows. He wasn't wearing a ring.
I wasn't married at the time, so it was fine. When you were on that show, you said that there was a possibility that Choking Victim could be making new music.
We did record. Well, I can't say that.
Okay,
I have secret stuff.
Do you think that in the future it's still a possibility?
We didn't record any new songs that nobody's heard, but yeah, it's still possible.
Is there anything going to be happening with Choking Victim in the near future?
We're going to play some shows. I think we have 3 shows in New York in June.
Okay. So there is Choking Victim shows coming. People can get excited about that.
I don't know. I think, like, yeah, like the second weekend of June.
Okay. Cool.
3 shows in New York at Market Hotel.
Market Hotel. Oh, cool.
Market
Sweet.
Hotel.
Oh, it's intimate.
I don't know. Yeah. I've never been there.
Yeah.
It sounds Sweet. Like a giant hotel. I thought there's going to be room for 1 million people.
That's where we're going. That's Market also hotel. Where the fucking cocaine will be released for the first day. So
maybe,
maybe stuff happening. Yeah.
Cracks cocaine.
Yeah.
Cracks cocaine. Well, it's cracks craft cocaine, and then it'll be coming at you. You know, Jerry. Through the regular channels, and then maybe like every 7-Eleven, yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah. Stay tuned, motherfuckers. It's
like the 7 is an forget it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Whitney. Thank you, Sturgeon.
You're welcome.
Fuck all you guys. That's fine.
Yeah. I knew they weren't going to talk enough.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks very much. Hold I'm holding it over here like a fucking...
It got very much like, we got to talk. Yeah, nobody else. Yeah.
That's fine. Fuck you guys. Thank you both. And see you all in hell. Get down. One night we were on tour, in this last tour, and Leftover Crack lets me come up and do Crack Rock Steady with them, which is a song I love very much because I love all their songs about killing cops. I just love them very much. And I love Leftover Crack. I mean, I just never get tired. I never get tired of seeing them perform. It never gets old to me. Their songs are so fucking good. Their stage performance is so fucking incredible. Everybody in the band is such a good person. I love it. I really do enjoy that band so much. And the fact that Sturgeon and the band lets me come up and do a couple of verses with them, it's just like a highlight of my life every night. I never get tired of doing it. And one night I get up to do Crack Rock Steady with them, which is just endlessly kind that they let me do that. Even when my bands aren't playing with them, like as a merch person, I get to be the merch guy and I get to do that song with them. And it's very, very kind. And one night I get up to do Crack Rock Steady and Sturgeon turns to me and says, "Joey, what song do you want to do?" And I was like, he never says that to me. And I'm like, are you really asking me that? Or am I like supposed to say Crack Rock Steady? Because I want to do One Dead Cop. Like One Dead Cop's my favorite song. I fucking love that song. I mean, Fuck America is probably my favorite song. But like my favorite Left 4 Crack song, One Dead Cop. And he goes, okay, let's do One Dead Cop. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. Let's fucking do this. And I never get tired of singing that. And after the set, I go up to Sturgeon. And I'm like, listen, man, I don't know. I don't know if you wanted me to say that, if I was supposed to say something else. But anytime you ask me, what song do you want to do? I'm always going to say One Dead Cop. So if there's something else you want me to say, like, let me know. He's like, no, that song's great. Let's do that song more. And I'm like, okay. Because I will sing that song every day, all the time, and never get tired of it. So I'm going to play that here right now because I love that fucking song. It's One Dead Cop, but Leftover Crack.
All I got to say is I have no remorse for shooting that police officer. He got what he deserved. If I had the opportunity to kill him, I'd kill him.
Mm-hmm.
right, that's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Although I don't really know what that saying means, like bottom of my heart, that sort of sounds kind of fucked up. Anyway, from the top of my heart, from my entire full heart, super huge thank you to my brother Scott Sturgeon for having me on this tour and for doing this podcast with me and for letting me sing along and doing so much stuff with them. I love them so much, and they're such great musicians and people, and just can't say enough wonderful stuff about them all. So thank you, Sturgeon, for doing this shit. Thank you to Whitney Flynn for also having me on this tour and letting me sing with them and doing this podcast. Amazing people, deep, deep, deep family roots. Love them so much. And hopefully we will be touring with these bands more in the very near future. So much love to them all. Huge thanks to everybody out there who continues to listen to Dispatches from the Underground. Huge thanks to everybody who came up to me on tour and say they dig what we do here on this podcast. I hope that this podcast is not just some more bullshit that you plug into your ears and that you tune out to when you're at the gym or whatever. I hope that there is some perspective that we are helping to bring to you. I hope that we are lighting some passion in your hearts, despite the fact that this world keeps trying to fucking keep trying to dim us or turn us off or whatever the fuck. I hope that we are there trying to make your flame burn a little brighter and hopefully giving you some perspective or helping you see some perspective on how to get through this fucking capitalist bullshit and burn it all down and find a better world. That's my hope. I hope that we're doing that. Either way, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for coming up and digging what we do. And hopefully we'll stay with you and continue to fucking get down. Stay up with Cop Out. We have a bunch of new shit up there. Get on our Bandcamp at Cop Out Punks, P-U-N-X, .bandcamp.com. And we'll see you all in hell in the very near future. Get down. I have to say, one of the best shows of my life was on this tour. We played Orange County, a venue called The Observatory. I think it was in Santa Ana. And it was a cool show. It was a fucking wild venue. Everyone's super cool. And it was a good spot. And it was like a little bit of hometown because Brad and Donnie live around there. And our good friend Mike, who's in bass player from Rats in the Wall and Neighborhood Brats. And he's an incredible musician. And so we got to spend some time with Mike. What's up, Mike? I love him to death. And his wonderful partner, like, let us stay in their home for a couple of days. And it's a really wonderful treat. And sadly, our good friend Marissa and Wade, they were out of town, so I didn't get to see them. But it's like in their neighborhood. We know a bunch of people there. We have a good time. One of my favorite restaurants, Seabirds, is over there. It's so good. Shout out to Seabirds. Anyway, it was a good time. And on that show in Santa Ana, the second band playing was this band called Introspect, which Donnie from Leftover Crack is in, and the old guitar player from Leftover Crack, Chris Mann, an incredible human being, amazing fucking guitar player, amazing singer in his own right. He played guitar in Introspect. I fucking love that band, Introspect. And the last song of the Leftover Crack set was Sturgeon playing with Introspect to a song that Introspect wrote called War at Home, a song that Leftover Crack recorded on their last album, Contracts of the State. And I fucking love that song. I think it's one of the best songs ever written. I fucking think it's brilliant, super entertaining. I think Leftover Crack killed that song. I think Introspect killed that song. So seeing Sturgeon play that song with Introspect was so magical. I had such a good time doing that. I had a good time seeing Introspect playing. I was working the merch, so I only got to see like 2 or 3 of their songs, and I missed some of my favorite songs that they do. But hopefully we can do more stuff with Introspect. I fucking love that band. Seriously, really, really enjoy it. And I wanted to end this podcast with an Introspect song. Here is War at Home. Absolutely phenomenal song. This is the Introspect version, not the Leftover Crack covered version of this song. But it was, if you can find video of Sturgeon and Introspect playing at Santa Ana, it's probably the end of February, like, I don't know, probably like February 23rd or 24th or something, in Santa Ana at the Observatory. So I've never seen it happen before. I was like, you could see me like giddy on the side of the stage, enjoying myself way too much as that song was being played. So super cool. If you can't, either way, here's that song. Here's Introspect, War at Home. Shout out to Donnie and Chris for being such incredible people. Hopefully more stuff will be done with Introspect, and maybe we can fucking even figure out how to get Neighborhood Brats and our good friend Mike involved in that too. Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, here's Introspect. Get down.